The House Transportation meeting has been called to order. It is 2:28 on April 4th, 2013. And let the record show that Representative Lynn, Representative Feige, Representative Isaacson, Representative Gaddis, and Representative Christ Tompkins are present today, and myself, Representative Wilson. And I'd like to recognize our staff. We have Nancy Hemingway over here, who is the House Recording Secretary, and Lori Berg, who is our LIO monitor. And my staff, my aide is Rebecca Rooney. And before we start, please shut your cell phones off. And today we only have one bill, and that is Senate Bill 24, Marine Transportation Advisory Board. And Senator Stevens is unable to join us, I believe. They're on the floor. And Doug, can you come forward, and would you please state your name and your affiliation and tell us about the bill?
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Doug Letch, aide to Senator Gary Stevens. The senator is unable to join us this afternoon. Floor session went a little long over there, and they're catching up on some things, too. I'm here to tell you about SB 24, which relates to the Marine Transportation Advisory Board. I hate to use the word simple bill because that always gets you in trouble, but it's really a straightforward bill. What it does is a couple things. The first thing that was very important to the folks in our area was to add an additional seat to the current 11-member board and designate this seat for a representative that would serve the interests of the communities in Kenai Peninsula, which is Seldovia and Homer, and the Kodiak Island communities that receive ferry service, Kodiak, being one of them, Port Lyons, and now there's some service to some of the smaller villages, to allow them the opportunity to submit names to serve on this board. And the second phase of the bill that's a little bit different is to allow Gustavus, which is another in recent years, in addition to the ferry service, allow them a seat at the table as well by, or at least an opportunity to apply for a seat at the table with in the southeast section. So it doesn't guarantee that anyone from those communities gets appointed necessarily. It could be somebody from Kodiak, it could be somebody from Port Lyons, could be somebody from Seldovia. Gives them an opportunity to at least advance a name for consideration to the MTAP board. The Gustavus piece was a similar effort. Gives them, now that they're getting ferry service, gives them an opportunity to advance somebody's name for consideration on this board. We have had some questions about the even number membership of the board. 12 is what it would be. We got asked in Senate Finance. Senator Fairclough had asked a good question about that. We talked with the Department of Transportation, legislative liaison Connie McKenzie. She said, number one, there are no bylaws for this group. And number two, there's never been a tie. In the event of a tie vote on something, then the issue would die. But it's a pretty good group. They seem to get along very well. So it doesn't seem to be a group that has any personality conflicts that would rise to the point where you'd see an even number board come into play like that. They're really their role is an advisory capacity on marine transportation issues. Very amicable teleconferences that I've listened to. Minor fiscal note of $3,000 a year. There's a requirement for you to attend one meeting in person, so that should cover the cost of that and whatever administration costs are involved. Bill won unanimous support the day it came up in the other body, and we think it's a good bill, and it's a good way to give folks a little bit more opportunity to speak their mind and represent their communities better than they have been able to do right now with the current setup. It's a large geographical area, as you can imagine, from Kodiak stretching out onto the chain and then on over into Prince William Sound and the Kenai Peninsula area is the Ketchikan Bay. So it's a good bill with a small cost, and appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about that today. And with that, I'd be glad to entertain any questions, and I think there may be an amendment forthcoming.
Representative Isaacson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Doug, it struck me, I had the question about the 12 also, because it's an even number, and I'm glad to hear it's an amicable group, but is it common for state boards not to have bylaws?
Through the chair, I that's a great question. I don't have an answer for you. I could get that answer for you. I'm not sure how I could get that right now, but I look into that for you if you'd like.
Follow-up.
Follow-up, Representative Isaacson.
It's not going to stop me from voting on this, but it strikes me odd that if we do add to the group mix, you can always find a way to disrupt the status quo. So I'm just thinking that right now, at least you have a requirement that they attend one meeting. If there's other requirements, I guess that would serve as bylaws. But with an even number, it does present the opportunity for some split decisions. But I appreciate what you're saying. You have my support. But it's something I'd like to look into, I guess.
Okay, it's something that we might want to look into. Yeah. Representative Gaddis.
Well, I was going to make the comment, and I got to thinking that I have been on municipal advisory boards, but I haven't been on state advisory boards, so I'm not entirely sure that I would be speaking to that issue. But as an advisory board, members of the community, all we did is get together as working groups to advise, and we too did not have bylaws because of the of what was set up just to get together to advise. We had no real formal, even if we advised one thing, certainly the officials were allowed to choose something else. So I don't know if the real key word I think here is the advisory board.
Well, and I might want to add a little history to this. The board originally started when, I believe it was Governor Murkowski, put it with an executive order, just had it set up. And but then when the next governor came in, everything kind of that he had before got stopped. And because I thought it was real good, it was actually my bill that went back and put it in statute so that we would have it, because I thought it was so important for our communities. And it's really has made a difference all across our state. And I guess my biggest fear at this point in time is that we all want to see it expand. However, we don't want it to expand at the expense of losing service for the communities that we already have in it. And so that's probably my biggest fear by keeping expanding it is the fact that everybody, of course, always wants more. And when that happens, you know, they all want to have more service if they can. But just so that it doesn't happen that that means that we're going to decrease service somewhere else, and that actually has been happening, and so we have to be real careful, I think, and I think the people on the board have to be careful so that it doesn't make it worse for any of the people that are already on that on those different various runs. So,
Madam Chair, if I may, you bring up an excellent point, and your history is very accurate too. When our office was approached by the Senator Stevens and also Representative Osterman during the interim by the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce. That was a big discussion as to how do we ensure that the communities that those two gentlemen serve are represented in, and what would we have to do, that kind of thing. And so it was a very concerted effort. I think the reason why there was only one seat made, or the suggestion to just add one seat, was to keep the number as low as possible, but expand the ability of the communities to feel represented. And Kodiak is very reliant on the marine transportation system, and as I mentioned to the person who will be taking my place, that's one thing you're going to hear a lot of in the job, issues regarding the scheduling and maintenance and things like that will come to us quite a bit during the interim and throughout the year. And I think the intent was to just to separate a little bit of a large geographic area. There is no malice towards the current representative for that area, who is the mayor of Unalaska, I believe, has that seat right now. It's just an opportunity to get more voices and give them a say in what is it's our highway there in Kodiak and elsewhere the southeast certainly. So we're not trying to reinvent the wheel or anything like that. We just wanted to respond to a community need and try and keep the cost of doing that very low.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Representative Feige.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And just a note, Representative Isaacson's question about the bylaws. If you look in Chapter 65, and I'll hand these down, basically it's laid out in statute already.
What? I wasn't sure.
Say it again. Oh, right here. Through the chair, thank you.
Okay, what I'd like to do is open up public testimony because we have someone online from Kodiak, and Joe Baylor, are you there?
Yes, Madam Chairman, thank you. And thank you, representatives on the Transportation Committee. I am an economic development specialist for the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce, and I would like to testify in support of Senate Bill 24, which would add an extra seat to the MTAB board for South Central. Adequate representation for the Kodiak region is vital for communicating service needs for our region. The Kodiak region has been growing, and last summer, the Alaska Marine Highway System added Old Harbor and Yuzinki to their Tustamina route. This brings the total number of communities served on Kodiak Island to 4. To fuel that growth and development for the whole island, we need reliable and consistent marine transportation. Many businesses and individuals have relied on the Tustamina and the Kennecott to provide basic transportation and shipping needs to the Kodiak region. And the Kodiak region, like other medium-sized Alaskan communities, has seen a loss and consolidation of local businesses. And we have become more reliant on the Anchorage and Kenai business areas and businesses up there to supply some of our basic needs. And our only marine link to those, because we don't have a freeway, is the Kodiak, the Alaska Marine Highway. The only other way of getting stuff down from up north is air freight. A few years back, Kodiak lost regular barge service from Western Pioneer out of Seattle to our Kodiak villages. That forced our village leadership to look for other transportation solutions for their basic necessities. And most of those involve utilizing air freight, which really raised the cost for them. Coast Guard transfers continue each and every summer, and many families utilize the marine highway system for moving their families on and off the island. And probably one of our bigger ones is that sports and activity groups in our local high school and middle school utilize the ferry to keep their costs down and enable more kids to travel to various communities to compete in academics and in sports, and also to bring those students over to Kodiak so that we can have home meets and home competitions. The economy in the Kodiak region is tied to its infrastructure, and we need to continue to develop that infrastructure, which includes the Alaska Marine Highway, in order to support growth for our region. But the first step of growth is good communication, and good communication will come with that extra seat on the MTAP board that will represent our area, which is a growing area, and we need that marine highway support. So I urge you to pass Senate Bill 24 this session, and I'd like to entertain any questions that you may have.
Are there any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony, Joe.
Thank you.
Okay, I have an amendment. It's a conceptual amendment that I would like to present, and you each have a copy there. And what it would do on page 2, line 10, to delete the word retired and add with 20 or more years after the word engineer. And that it's not always easy to find retired people that are willing to serve on it, and if we can get, you know, kind of do the same thing, that at least that they will have 20 or more years of experience, and so we're kind of doing the same thing but just wording it just a little bit different. And so I move a conceptual amendment number one.
Objection. For purposes of amending.
Representative Feige has objected. Would you like to make comments on your objection?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move amendment number one to conceptual amendment number one, which would consist of adding the word experience after the phrase 20 or more years.
You're going to remove your objection first?
I have to do that.
Yeah. If we have the amendment before us, then we can amend the amendment.
I remove my objection.
Okay, so now we have the amendment before us, and would you like to amend the amendment?
I'll move. I would like to amend the amendment, just like I said before.
Okay.
Okay.
And so you're saying after the word years, experience.
Right.
Hearing no objection, the amendment to the amendment has passed. And hearing no
objection for the purposes of discussion.
Representative Christ Tompkins.
I was curious if the origin of conceptual amendment number one was feedback from MTAB, if MTAB members suggested the change.
It was a member of the MTAB committee that suggested it.
Thank you.
Do you remove?
I remove my objection.
Okay. The objection being removed, conceptual amendment number one, as amended, has passed. So now we're back with Senate Bill 24 as amended, and what do I hear from the committee? Representative Feige.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill number 24-28-LS0330/alpha as amended.
And hearing no objection.
With attached fiscal
note. Oh, yes.
And individual recommendations.
All right. I hearing no objection, so the bill has passed, but I do want to say I neglected to say that we were closing public testimony, so I want to make sure that is done. And we have no more bills in our committee that we have had requests for hearings, and so this is not necessarily our last meeting, because I don't know if we'll be getting other bills from the Senate. So right now we aren't going to have any, not any meetings scheduled, but watch your, this is the 24-hour rule, so we might be having them. I will try to contact you if so. But having said that, we are adjourned.
Good work.